Thank you, team. And I was just contemplating the words of the one song, which talked about how he conquered death. He overcame death. And I was thinking, if he overcame death, and he did, then what have I got to worry about in life? If he overcame the grave, then the things that we juggle or worry about or may be anxious about right now have a fairly light weight to them by comparison. I'm not minimizing the reality that you may be facing, but I want to bring it with you to the Lord right now. And let's grow up in Him to faith and offer these things to Him in prayer. The Lord our God, Father, thank you for what you've done for us, that Jesus Christ overcame death and the grave to give us life forever and for right now in fullness. And I pray that you would fill us with the Spirit of God, your Spirit, to understand, to love, to pray, to lead, to learn, to do, to tell others. Oh Lord, we speak the name of Jesus Christ over our body, our fellowship, and over our community of Cranbrook and Kimberley and this region. And we speak the name of Jesus Christ over those who govern us locally, provincially in British Columbia, federally in Canada. We speak your name, Lord Jesus. We speak your peace. We speak the name of Jesus over the people. And we pray there would be a rising up of faith and hunger for you, a desire for you, and that we would see many people turn to Christ. We pray that in our own congregation, we would see 50 people come to Christ. We pray that our membership would grow by 50%. We pray that you would increase your voice here through us. For your glory alone we pray in Jesus' name. Our Tim Talk today is partly a video, and we'll get to that in just a moment. And good morning. See, this is how I can tell who's here. I just shield my eyes a little bit. I'm taking mental attendance, yes. Welcome. It's really good to see you. And as you know, we're going to talk about membership today. If you want to know more, just meet me out back. It sounds like a threat, but it's not. At 2:30 this afternoon, bring a chair, bring your coffee if you like. Yes, children, thank you. Cranbrook Alliance Kids. Christy is ready, prepared, well prepared as always, and waiting to serve you. Thank you so much. Cranbrook Alliance Kids can be on their way. But if you want to learn more about or have a conversation about membership in Cranbrook Alliance, at 2:30 this afternoon, bring your chair, coffee, popcorn if you like, whatever refreshment you want, and we'll meet in the courtyard out back. I think we'll probably find a little bit of shade there because I think it's going to be warm today. So bring an air conditioner if that works for you. And we'll get together at 2:30. Also, just a note, Lee Searle is not in this service. He's one of the 11 o'clockers. So Lee is retiring from his role as events and building use coordinator. We affectionately called him the e-buck. And so we're going to be just honoring him. But the end of this month, he is completing that. And so we're so grateful for his service, his ministry. He kind of came out of retirement to do this. And so we went to the retirement well again, and we've hired Ken DeJong to step into that role for this coming year. So just give your thanks to Lee. We've got a card and a gift for him from the church, and we'll do that right. But also welcome Ken to that role. Just wanted you to be aware that that's happening. Now, we've got a little video for you about baptism and membership.
At Cranbrook Alliance Church, we practice baptism
as a way of demonstrating personal living faith in Jesus Christ. Baptism does not save someone. It does not make you into a Christian. Baptism is an exterior sign of an interior reality, a living faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. It is a way of saying that we have embraced Him and His cross as ours, and His resurrection lives in us through His Holy Spirit. So baptism is an act of declaring that we are submitted to and devoted to Christ. Christ himself was baptized by John the Baptist, and when John argued that he shouldn't be baptizing Jesus, but Jesus should baptize him, Jesus said, "No, we will do this because this is to fulfill all that God requires." He was living up to what his Father wanted of him. And so, in turn, we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in order to demonstrate that we belong entirely to him. If you have been searching for Jesus Christ or for faith and you want to talk more about what that means, or if you have come to faith in Christ but have not been baptized, then I invite you to get in touch with us. If you do not belong to a local church, you need to be part of a group of people that follow in his name. And so I encourage you to talk to us. We'd like to inform you or help you understand more about baptism. If you're part of the congregation and haven't been baptized yet, we invite you to let us know. We would happily serve you in this way. Also, we practice local church membership. Now, membership is not the same as baptism in that it doesn't have the same biblical foundation or underpinning as baptism does. However, membership has a very practical function for us. For one thing, it's a statement of stability. It's not like buying a brand new car. It's more like paying the utilities and the rent. It's keeping things stable, knowing that there's a place to belong, people you can go to who will be there for you. It's also stability for our hundreds of international workers who our family of local churches send out to serve in countries all around the world. We are like their home port. We support them by our giving to our Global Advance Fund and by praying for them and by sending people to serve as partners along with them. And so it provides a stable home port for our mission. It's also a way of accountability. Every year at our annual meeting, our membership needs to approve our annual budget, and if we're making enormous capital projects or purchasing capital items, we need their input. So it's a way of financial accountability and also doctrinal or biblical accountability. We have a statement of faith that we agree together about, and so we can't go off in any direction we feel like at any moment because we've agreed that these are the things that provide the core of our faith statement. And so I urge you, if you are not part of the local church in membership, to consider this. We'd like to invite you to get in touch with us, find out more. We have regular information evenings about membership, and we'd be happy to welcome you to one of these. At Cranbrook Alliance Church, we practice baptism as a way of demonstrating. Make it stop. All right. What he said. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is true and powerful. Now open our minds and hearts to it, we pray. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you haven't guessed yet, the theme today is membership or the local church. And Pastor Jordan did such an able job of introducing the message and what we're talking about. I appreciated that so much. I was talking with a colleague, a good friend of mine recently, who told me what he had preached about on a given Sunday. And then the worship pastor got up and railed against the people for not doing what he had said. And he sort of face-palmed and said, "That is not at all what I wanted to happen." And so I appreciate your sensitivity and love for the body of Christ at Cranbrook Alliance. More than a year ago, when I was projecting that this Sunday I would talk about membership, I had no idea that we would still be kind of in the hopefully latter stages of COVID-19. I thought, you know, several weeks and this will be done, and then another several weeks, and then another several more, and then several more, and so on, and now But we're still kind of going through, hopefully, what is the last parts of this. And the church has continued to be the church in this. I've been so grateful for the way that the body of Christ, Cranbrook Alliance, has cared for, reached out to one another, served people, been the church throughout this time. Now, church membership, what's that about? Sometimes church membership has been compared to marriage, while being part of the church and not being a member has been compared to living common law. Let's just declare right up front, that's a terrible analogy. And it's not true at all. A marriage is a covenant before God between a man and a woman that you make intending it for life. It's that holy covenant. Membership in a local church is a commitment to the body of Christ locally for the sake of developing accountability and leadership. And we have membership as a family of churches. The Alliance Church in Canada practices membership as a commitment to being all in this way. Now, is our way of doing things perfect? No. No, there isn't. I don't think there is a perfect church model. In fact, if you could find a church that's perfect in its model, let me know and I'll come help you wreck it, because I can do that. I know how to do that. I think that citizenship in a country might be more like membership in a church because of this. Every human being is created in the image and likeness of God, and yet we have these geopolitical units called countries that we live in and vote in and are part of. And we have accountability there, and leadership comes out of the citizenship. And so in the body of Christ, if you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are in the membership of the global family of God. But then as local entities, congregations, we have membership which we participate in as a way of cultivating leadership and accountability and sacrifice and so on. And so I think that local church membership is more like citizenship, definitely not a good comparison to marriage. It's also called the family of God in the Bible. We're called God's family. I heard a counselor speak years ago, and he said, he quoted another person who said, I think that 90% of families are dysfunctional. And this speaker said, I disagree with that. Did I think 100% of families are dysfunctional? And I find that strangely comforting, because everybody has flaws. Everybody got flaws, right? Everybody has something that they're trying to manage. And so it's fair to say that the family of God sometimes can have its little dysfunctions too. And that's why the Father wrote these letters to the local church, many through the Apostle Paul, one through James, some through Peter, and so on, to talk about how, as Jordan mentioned, since we are the family of God, since we have been adopted into His family, embraced and loved by God, then how do we do this? How do we live as the family of God, the church, the local church? And so up to this point in Ephesians, God, through Paul, has been describing how we have become the church and we're empowered with the Spirit of God and His life lives in us. And now he turns the corner a bit on how this looks, gets more practical in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read that. This is the New Living Translation. And it says, therefore, based on all the mercy God's shown you, based on this oneness we have in Christ, based on being adopted into His family, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God into His family, your calling. Then he says this in verse 2, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Membership is belonging with each other. Belonging with each other. In this very large family called the global family of God, and then this relatively large local church family we are part of, we have some common responsibilities and privileges that we carry out together. And he says we're to be always humble and gentle, patient, bearing with each other, and pursuing this unity in the Holy Spirit's power, because we can't do it alone. And this isn't always easy. It doesn't always just come naturally, because you and the next person, I bet even the person beside you, even that person you love so much, might not even see everything the same all the time. Maybe. Just hazarding that guess that perhaps you think differently than somebody else that's even right here this morning, or in the church that's not here this morning. Because we're different. An author named Leonard Sweet wrote, "Rodgers and Hammerstein, who wrote the song for South Pacific that goes, 'You've got to be carefully taught to hate,' must have never had children or brothers or sisters. The truth is, children have to be taught to be kind and loving, not doing unto others as they do unto you comes naturally. Cruelty is hardwired into human DNA. We are born with a congenital defect. It is called original sin. Always being humble and gentle implies lowly thinking." Apparently the Greek words have that sense. Lowly thinking, not being self-deprecating, not tearing ourselves down, not having terrible self-esteem. No, that's not what he's getting at here, but not exalting ourselves over one another. Always humble and gentle. So to live up to the family name is to come down to the cross. To live up to this name, this calling we have, is to come down to the cross humbly. Living up to the family name. I remember giving a little lecture to our oldest child. I think he was in junior high, and he was going off to some event or function. And I said to him, "Remember the name. You know, remember who you serve. And remember your name, who you are." And he's out the door, and he comes back, opens the door. He says, "Dad, I remember the name." Bang, he's gone again. And we hope that stuck. Remember the name. To live up to the family name, you need to come down to the cross. And the word gentle, also translated meek, means strength under control. It means not retaliating when someone offends you. It means not taking the bait if someone is trying to stir up trouble. Of course, when you're trying to be humble and gentle, you have to be patient. Be patient. Maybe you've been in a situation where you have to be patient. Just guessing. Sometimes that happens at work. Maybe in your workplace you know more than a supervisor or boss even, and so in your place of work you've had to say, okay, I'm just going to have to be patient with this. I remember as a beginning pastor, I pastored in my home church for 5 years, and looking back, I think there must have been a lot of times when people who had way more practical biblical knowledge than I had in life must have buttoned their lips at times just to be gracious, as I kept learning. And they led by following. They set the pace for the health of the body, patient. They lived up to the family name by coming down to the cross. Bearing with each other is more than just being tolerant. That's a big word in Canadian society. We should be tolerant. It's much more than just being tolerant or tolerating each other. It kind of means a "this too shall pass" attitude. Again, someone is trying to goad you or get you to take the bait, provoke a fight. You just don't go there. Finally, as a family, we make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We can't do this alone. We call on the Holy Spirit. In those moments what is just very difficult to be patient or to be gentle, to be kind, to bear with one another. If we call on the Holy Spirit in our hearts and say, I need help here. Because left to my devices, I would tear this relationship to pieces, or at least damage it so badly that it would be hard to recover. Because after all, it's his family first before it's ours. And so the Holy Spirit is active in this. So it goes on and says, for there is one body and one Spirit. Just as you have been called, you are the called ones, to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. It's about the glory of God, not about us. And that's why as family members, we keep encouraging each other. Keep on building each other up. God has gifted you with one another. And to live up to the family name is to come down to the cross. The beginnings of the Alliance Church grew out of this quest for a unified mission. There was a child born in Prince Edward Island. They named him Albert Benjamin. His last name was Simpson. And when he was a boy, his family moved to Ontario. And in his teen years, he read a book that said to him, the first good work you'll ever do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did that. Put his faith in Christ, became a follower of Christ that day. And he began to be transformed and changed. And then in later years, he decided to go off to college and he took some training. Then he went into a ministry training school. And as a young man, he found himself being the pastor of Knox Presbyterian Church in Hamilton, Ontario. Beautiful Hamilton. I'm seeing fist pumping happening at the back. And while there, he experienced some ill health, and he needed a different climate. So he and his wife and young family moved to Louisville, Kentucky. It was 1874, and the Civil War had left deep gashes in people's hearts and in the community. Racial tension, North-South tension, and as an outsider, a Canadian, he kind of could broker some peace. So he and a bunch of other pastors did this joint effort at reaching the community, and 6,000 people came to Christ. 6,000 people came to Christ through that effort. And also, the experience changed him profoundly. He wrote that he had received a profound spiritual blessing in the midst of ambitious and half-consecrated ministry, as he called it. How the baptism of the Holy Spirit awakened in his heart an intense longing for the salvation of souls and simpler methods of reaching the masses with the gospel. And then in 1879, he and his family moved again to New York City, and he became the pastor of a very fashionable church. It was called 13th Street Presbyterian Church. And at that time, he had quite a big salary for 1879. And he also was preaching to people outside the church, and people were coming to Christ in the church, but he had about 100 people from preaching at the docks, and they would set up these services and so on. It was a different time. People responded differently. And so he said to these people who he had led to Christ, or the Holy Spirit had led to Christ, and he had facilitated, Come to church Sunday morning. So they showed up. And to his very great chagrin, there was quite a social status difference between these groups. And his church turned them away. And he said, I just can't continue on. He just graciously stepped out and he said, my mission is to reach these people. And so with a group of others from other backgrounds, they started the Christian Alliance. And then began sending people also around the world as international workers. Membership is belonging with each other, regardless of where we're coming from. Our mission is to be Christ's presence in the world, each one shepherd one. And that's our passion and our desire, and it requires all of us just being the presence of Christ where we are. I've seen so many examples of kindness and persevering love through COVID-19, and we continue with that grace. There are often things that happen and that that in the news these days, it can upset people a lot and even divide people. And it can divide believers. Vaccinations can divide people. Listen, whether you're vaccinated or not is not a sign of whether you belong in this congregation. We understand that. And whether you're vaccinated or not isn't a sign of holiness. I'm not here to tell you what to do at all. But our mission and our message is something different. It is Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead. Amen? That was very quiet, but I think you meant it. You see, to be the body, to be the family of God, to live up to the family name is to come down to the cross. On mission, on message. Membership is belonging with each other, and membership is using our gifts to help each other. Using our gifts to help each other. Verse 7 says, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. God has given each one of us, he says, his grace, that is, his generous, undeserved favor, and it comes through us in gifts, things that we do. You know, I've noticed this interesting phenomenon that you probably don't value your gift very much because it's something that you do with relatively less effort than someone who's not gifted at that. And because it's easier for you, you think it's not important. That's very common. But don't stop doing it because you don't feel that it's difficult. Keep on sharing the gift God has given to you. God wrote through the Apostle Paul and to the Corinthians, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Jesus is the Lord of his family, of this family, and he's overseeing it, and he oversees the distribution of the gifts, and he's overseeing what you have as a gift, and what you have, and what you have. He gives them individually, but for the sake of each other. We're gifted to serve one another. Lord willing, I plan to, in October, I think it's October 3rd, it's a Saturday, go through the Life Keys course. It's a course about spiritual gifts and our mission in life. And I'd like to just invite you to keep that in mind. And you might remember a year ago, we sent out these little profiles for spiritual gifts, and you may have gone through that booklet and checked some things off and thought, that one always comes up as strong for me. Or you might have checked some things off and thought, well, I didn't notice that before, but maybe that is true, and you need to share with another believer or a friend who knows you well and say, do you see this in me? God gives you gifts to serve. To live up to the family name is to come down to the cross and surrender the gift there and say, I'm in. I'm all in. Fill me, Holy Spirit, to do what you've gifted me to do. There's an old hymn we used to sing that I didn't like. And not because it's all bad. It's not. It's called Channels Only. You may remember it. And the reason I didn't like it very much is that I always had the picture that we're sort of like a hollow pipe that God is pouring his stuff through. Channels only. Where instead, I think, and this is another inadequate and inanimate illustration, we're more like very complex computers with projection built in. And we receive the word of the Lord and we process it in obedience to him by the power of the Spirit who gives us life and who animates our spiritual life, and we project Christ through this. We project Christ. We bring the presence of the living Christ into where we are, and we live this out as we shepherd one person at a time and care about people, and our vision is that God adds to our numbers daily those who are being saved. It's complex as the Spirit of God works in us and shapes us individually, and your gifts are various and different and distinct, and they work differently than the next person's gift does. And I'm so grateful for the commitment and loyalty of the body of Christ in these recent months, and how the body of Christ has continued to be the body of Christ. Ephesians 4 goes on to describe how God has given gifts to the church in the form of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and these for equipping people for service. But then it goes on to describe how the body is built up, though, as each one does its part, carries out its gift. Each one. So there is this amazing equal value in the body. Wayne Cordero, in his book called Doing Church as a Team, wrote this. As we have come to rely more and more heavily on professional clergy, we have simultaneously developed a new breed of churchgoers, consumer Christians. A consumer Christian can easily be spotted traveling from church to church, shopping for bargains and filling the empty basket of expectations with programs and personalities. And after a reasonable period of searching, they settle on the church that most adequately fits the bill. They then begin to consume, and if at any time their rate of consumption is not equaled by the church rate of feeding, they pack up and begin the search routine all over again. Maybe, he says, it's time we return to the way God designed the church to function in the first place. Every member is a minister. That's what God says. In fact, he calls us to be full-time ministers, not just on Sundays, not just at Bible studies, but full-time. Before you are a business person, you are a minister. Before you are a homemaker, you are a minister. Before you're a student, a grandparent, a CEO, you are a minister. Some may protest, but I don't work for the church. I work for the state, or the police department, or a construction company, the Department of Education, a manufacturing firm. My company pays me, not my church. How can you say that I'm a full-time minister? Sometimes, he says, we mistake the channel of our provision for the source of our provision. The Bible tells us that God is our provider, not a company or business. How do we help each other toward our vision? How do we do that? Instead of membership just being an institutional thing, we need to make it about being committed to each other and to the mission together. Together we exalt the family name, the name of Jesus. Live up to the family name. Come down to the cross. Now, membership aside, it may be that today you need someone to just come down to the cross with you. You need to pray about something. You need to give something over to the Lord or ask his help. And so I'm going to linger afterwards here for a few moments after the service, after our closing song, if you'd like to come for prayer. Maybe bring someone with you to pray with you as well, if you like, or you can pray with someone right where you're seated following the service. But if you need someone to help you, just come to the cross with something, anything. We're here to serve you in that way. Let's join our worship team today and sing this song of response.
Stand with us. In this time.